The topic of this workshop is a global fellowship, the big picture. I have a few announcements that I'm going to read before we get started. And first is badges. Please note that members must wear their badges to enter the convention beyond the registration area. And please, please be careful that your badge does not fall from its clip. Some members have tied theirs to their lanyard to ensure that they are not lost. Lunch. Remember, we have concessions throughout the convention center so that you can have lunch without needing to leave the convention. Beginning at 11 a.m., you can find food sales in tides in the lobby area and in the food court on the terrace outside of the ballroom 20, upper level. Smoking around the exits. We have identified the entrance in front of Hall A and Hall F as non-smoking entrances. Smokers, please do not use the sidewalk area outside of Hall A and outside of Hall F to smoke. Those are designated non-smoking areas. Entertainment. We still have jazz, brunch, and concert tickets available, so you can purchase them in the registration area. The Friday Night Festival starts at 9:45 tonight in the Sales Pavilion. We have a great lineup of musicians, including Trombone Shorty. That was last night, huh? Okay, I'm going to skip to photos and videos of social media. We recognize that it is a common practice for members to take photo and videos of any events, and to post them on social networks. We do not believe this is in conflict with our tradition so long as they are for the enjoyment of members and are not made available to the general public. Please be considerate of your guiding principles and the anonymity of others as you share your photos and videos from WCNA 34. So I'm going to open this meeting with a moment of silence, and we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer for those of you who wish. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, we're going to start off with our readings. I have Jack from Washington to read, who is an addict.
I'm an addict named Jack. My home group is Tower Power on Saturday night in Seattle. And if you're ever there, please come and visit us. We'd love to have you. Last thing, my clean date is December 15th, 1971. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death. Thank you.
Okay, and next we have Mary from Vancouver, B.C. She's been asked to read. Why are we here?
Hello. My name is Mary, and I'm an addict. I'm not a huge fan of microphones, so bear with me. Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we'd found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, our husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
And I've asked Richard from San Diego to read a portion from our literature.
Good morning, everybody. Richard Addict. Welcome to my backyard. This is awesome. Basic text, preface to the sixth edition. Our members come from every walk of life. We are not contained within political or geographic boundaries, nor are we limited by any individual differences in faith or philosophy. No matter what conflicts are unfolding in the world at large, we aspire to the ideal of unity. Our common welfare should come first. Our text explains that this unity of purpose helps us to achieve a true spirit of anonymity, where all of us are equal as members of the group. With that as our foundation, we as individual recovering addicts are each able to find our own distinct voice and to sing a song that is uniquely ours. This new edition presents some of those voices. We hope the sixth edition basic text will offer a vision of recovery for addicts around the world, those who are already found the rooms of NA, and those who will walk through our doors tomorrow. Over the years, our fellowship has changed and our literature has expanded and has been revised. But the message remains the same. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. You are welcome here. Please stay and be part of our growth, change, and recovery.
Hey, before I introduce our first speaker, I would like everybody to remind everybody to silence your cell phones. You know, switch them over to vibrate or turn them off, just so that we're not distracted or disrespect the speakers in any way. Thanks, Uzi. I would like to introduce Uzi, our first speaker from Israel. Thank you.
Everybody, my name is Uzi and I'm an addict. Shalom also to my friends from Israel and from everywhere. Well, I'm excited. Butterfly in my stomach. Being a speaker in a word convention. Being a speaker in a word convention, not taking for granted. Anyhow, I expected to more than 3,000 people, since there is less than 100, it's okay. You know, the dance and everything. Okay, I started this morning with to read it just for the day, which reminds me, takes me back where I come from. I didn't know what to do at first, and then my friends, with his advice, told me to walk around the yard near my hotel. And I walked, and I start thinking, and I have about three stories to tell you what happened to me. First of all, when I go down and start walking my morning walk today, and I start walk and I met a woman from the program, She told me, take a picture of me, and I took a picture of her. And then she told me, oh, Uzi, you're from Israel, hi. And I said, hi, she's from Diego, somewhere here. And we start speaking about the program, and then early in the morning, she start talking with me about money, that this convention is gonna have money, lost money before on other convention, and have money before, and we don't know what to do about it. And then I finally find myself answer her. She was a very nice woman. And I find myself answering her, hey, listen, I'm so in a mood of spiritual mood that money matters doesn't really fit me right now. But for my experience, if you want to know something about money in the convention, if they were worth, if they gain money or not, be a volunteer, get a service, get in, do your work, check whatever you want. But if you from outside, have a belief that those who take a service here and done their job voluntarily have a good work, and I believe in them 110%. So I want to thank also the committee, the members in the committee who took service. They did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Second story is 2 days ago we went in a ferry. And a friend of us, we are three people who came here from Israel, 16 hours flight, almost 16 hours flight from Israel. A few details about Israel you get in a second. We came 16 hours, almost 15 hours flight, but till we get out, 16 hours. And one of the friends have a ticket also to the ferry. But we too want to go to the ferry. And he leave us the ticket. And he leave us the ticket for free, you know, to give everybody. And we almost got to the door of the ferry. We didn't know who to give it. Finally, we find a very nice, very warmful woman. We told her, we have free ticket. Give it to wherever you need. Maybe you find somebody to give it. And in a second she took it and she said, how nice of you. And she took it, and after a couple of minutes when we were in the line of waiting to get in the ferry to the boat, we saw a person come, this person who took from her the ticket and sold the ticket for $30, $20. At the end he sold it for $20. And my friend got angry at him. And I was a little bit, my stomach also a little bit. But in a second, and I start worried about my friend, because he said, I'm not going to get into the boat if he's going to be there, if I'm going to see him. And he's right. And then I come to the person and tell him, hey, listen, we give it for free. Why do you sell the ticket and do like this to me? And then I go back. And again, my friends start feeling angry. And then in a second, I don't know, like a spiritual thing, I said, hey, listen, my friend. We gave it. We give it to the other person. When we give, you have to give without no interest. Don't think about nothing. Just give it away. I mean, if you give it, it doesn't matter when you're in a road, in the middle of the road, you feel like giving somebody something to somebody, if you have, you want to give, you just give. No matter if you're playing, if you play that he doesn't have money, or you do it, it doesn't matter. When you give, you have to give, man. Without interest, not feeling worse, feeling bad about it. You have to give with all your heart, no matter what, no matter to whom. And that's what I have here. I have here a fellowship that gives without interest. 14 years that I have here, I just got the... what is the topic? Global fellowship gave me without interest. gave me my life, and we not without asking something back. And that, for that, I'm really gratitude. I have a big gratitude about it, that I have that grown fellowship, that lovely and share friends throughout the world, and of course at my home. This is the second story, and the third story is I just called, you know, I didn't know what to talk about, and I was really butterflies in my stomach, and then I go to the toilet about 10 times. I go to the toilet about 10 times. Anyhow, it must be interesting in the city, you know. I'm not a pro speaker, but what I know about myself, that I'm a pro recovering addict. 14 years cleaning, I'm a pro recovering addict. And the third story is that about a month and a half ago, I had a university at the age of 50 years old. And my happy family that I missed celebrate for me a surprise party. My beautiful and great wife and work about it about 2 months. Also, my 6 kids work on it. My wife and my 6 kids work on it 2 months without telling me nothing. I mean, telling me nothing, which means even the son of 3 years old was in that secret. I have 19 years old son. 18 years old daughter, and then I have 7, 5, 4, 3 ages of my kids, 6 kids, and they all were in that secret, include my good friends that here, include also my sponsees, 7 sponsees were known about the secret, including my sponsor and my stepmother. Everybody knows about it, just me, nothing. Everybody cheating me in a positive way, and I didn't know nothing. And I really got in a surprise. I got in a surprise, and it was a great, great party. And my wife bring me the kids from my kindergarten, the kids from the program, my sponsees, my step group meeting, friends from my home group. Everybody was there, about 140 people. It was just, birthday, happy birthday. And I came to my, I was supposed to come to my wife's friend's bar mitzvah. There's a bar mitzvah, you know, a celebration for 13 years old kids. What I know is about, I'm going to come to other person bar mitzvah. And I was really happy, and I was really touched, and it was great, and they sing for me songs, and everything was really happy, and the food was great, and dancing, and everywhere. And when I have a time to speak, at the end of my speak, what I wanted to say is that more than, and that is connected to you, more than they cheat me, in a positive way, of course, I believe in everybody. The more, I mean, how come at the end? I mean, at the end, I didn't know nothing. 2 months preparation, everybody around me, I didn't know nothing. But more than that is the matter that I became a believer in that program. I believe in people. That makes me happy. That makes me feel good. This is what I got here. A faith, a belief. And that's what I have a gratitude for the program for that. That you brings me to believe in people. And that's what I said in to my family. More than you think you surprised me, I believe in you. And I have a faith. And that takes me where I come from. That takes me where I come from 14 years ago. And my first marriage was a cheating marriage. It was a heroin marriage. Me and my wife, my ex-wife, were doing heroin nights and day on a daily basis with two kids at home, two small kids at home, endangered our lives, our kids. I mean, cheating everybody. I did in my life heroin, cocaine, injection, methadone, whatever you like, pills. I did a lot of shit in my life. And when I came to the program, I came broke with that family, just kicked me out. And I came to the program, and they asked me, just sit, listen, and start believing in us. Sit, listen, and look at us, and see the hope, see the faith. You have faith on us. And that's what happened to me 14 years ago, almost. In 2 months, I'll celebrate 14 years. Thank you. Just for the day, thank you. Thank you, brother. And that what happened. And when I got to the program, I start, you know, if I want to look about my big picture, I want to say, I look back and see what I built. I mean, a new life. I got divorced. I got a new wife. I got new kids. I get the two big kids to my family, since she also used to use lots of drugs again. She didn't make it till 3 months ago. I have to say that she is clean. My ex-wife, 100 days. And when my kids told me what to do, I said, just pray and believe that in one day she'll be clean. And I was glad to hear that from them, that she's clean 100 days. Anyhow, my big picture is the new life that I've got, the new life, the new family that I've got, the new friends that I've got, the new, how do you say, playground that I play, the new players that I'm with, and that is great for me. That I'm satisfied about it, and it's great for me. Another things that I want to share is that also since almost during the 14 years of clean time, I tried to be a sponsor once or two times or three times. It didn't work out, but half a year ago, as I moved town, I was praying about being a good sponsor, But about two years and a half ago, I moved town. I bought a new house. And in a new town, I don't know what happened, a new home group. And half a year ago, I became a sponsor for 7 sponsees. I became a sponsor to 7 sponsees. And you know what? They are also my sponsor. I sponsor them. They are my sponsor. And I'm happy. And I'm thrilled about it. And it's great. I mean, it's a spiritual awakening that I've never had to have yet. And I'm thankful from here, that if they're here in the city, I'm thankful from here to my sponsees also. I thank also to my sponsor that just before I came here told me, I called him and told him, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm excited. And he said to me, God will tell you what to do. Don't worry. What else I want to tell you is that the fourth story is, I don't know what. Fourth story is that I leave it to my colleague. friends, that she's going to speak after me. And I cannot say nothing about that. Gratitude to you. I mean, you are my new family. You are my new family, except my kids and my wife. But you are the new families. I just speak to somebody here. They said to me, they know you knew something that sometimes my closest family doesn't know. And it's true. And I have to tell you again something funny. When I came here, I just have a blackout. Didn't know what to speak about. And I met somebody who 4 years clean. And then I start walking through the hall, to the hall here, and come to say to him, hey, who's speaking? He said to me, I don't know. I said, tell me, what do you think about the big picture? He said to me, hell, I don't know what the big picture. And then we start speaking, and then they don't know. Then I said, oh, listen, I tried to get something from you. I don't know what the hell I'm going to speak. And he start laughing about me, and he just came and sit here at the beginning of the... What else? Thank you for letting me be here and share with you the little that I have. And thank you for the great fellowship that brings my life, brings me to live. I mean, I start living 14 years ago. I start living. I start feeling. I mean, you know, the music that I hear today is different. The friends that I am with today are different. The feeling that I feel today is different. Everything is different to the good, in a good way. And thank you very much again for letting me share.
All right, Uzi did a great job. Thank you. And I would like to introduce Tally now from Hawaii.
Hi, family. My name's Tally, and I'm an addict. Thank you, Uzi. It's like my head is full of what he said. It's hard to separate it. Thank you very much. I really feel honored to share a podium with you. Know that. I got lost coming here, and that's why I was late. Went to some other end and ran into a sponsee who was on her way here, and so she brought me here. And she's from Australia. When I was coming up the escalator, I ran into a man from Oahu. I'm from Hawaii. Did I say my name's Tully and I'm an addict? That's good. And I looked up and he was standing there. And 10 years ago, I was on Oahu and I was backing out of a driveway from doing some work. And it was just starting to get dark. And I noticed in this garage, there was this light hanging in the middle of the garage. And there was this woman sitting under the light reading our basic text. So I pulled my car into that driveway. And I got out and I introduced myself. She had 3 days clean. She celebrated 10 years in December. And her father was at the top of the escalator going down. And I was thinking about that. You know, it's just our fellowship is incredible how we're connected. We are so connected. It's just, it's unbelievable. I just wanted to ask a question here. For you members that are from different countries, can you just stand up and yell out what country you're from? What was that? Canada. So the title of this is NA is a Global Fellowship, Looking at the Big Picture. So we really just covered the first part of this topic. Because if you think about how many people are in this room from all over the world, we really are a worldwide fellowship. Going to tell you a little story. My mother almost gave birth on a train. I was born 3 months premature. And someone on the train grabbed me and ran me to this doctor, and I had a hole in my heart, and the doctor said I probably wouldn't live. My mother was relieved because she wanted a boy child. Well, I didn't die, and I'm here at 61, soon to be 62 years old. And the hole in my heart repaired itself. They don't know why, they don't know how, but it did. My mother consequently had a boy child, and she was very happy. But that kind of set the stage for how I was going to grow up in my family. It kind of set the patterns and what was going to happen. And consequently, I got into active addiction. I went to all the places I said I'd never go. You guys would go there. I'm not going there. Went there. Did all the things I was never going to do. And then found recovery. And I found recovery in a little tiny town of about 5,000 people. They had a Narcotics Anonymous meeting there. And I got clean in 85, so this Narcotics Anonymous meeting had been going on for a couple of years. In the middle of Minnesota, farm country, all you see is corn. Corn and whatever else. But they had a Narcotics Anonymous meeting for me. And I always remember walking down these stairs. It looked like something you'd find in the old days in Tijuana, you know, when you walk down the stairs and you don't know what you're going to find. anyway, there were 10 people sitting around that table. I didn't think I'd stay. Pretty sure everybody's using. They put their arms around me, which didn't like at all. And they did the readings. Nothing happened in my head. I just knew one thing. I didn't want to live the way I was living. I knew that. But I also didn't want to identify as an addict, and I really didn't want to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. But as I listened to these people share, they told my story. And that was the beginning of my recovery. It was in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I've never had to use since, no matter what. I've never had to use since. And I'm very fortunate because there was a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. I was thinking about this idea of a global fellowship. And I went to the conference in 97. I hadn't been there in a couple of years. And prior to that, I had moved to Hawaii. Now, I moved into a cultures that were all Asian, Polynesian, and I knew nothing about the culture. So I was at the conference, and I saw this sign pinned to the side of the wall, and it said APF. So I asked someone, what was that? And they said, it's the Asia-Pacific Forum. So I went, oh, Asia. Well, I'm in the Asia Basin. I'll go in that meeting. And I went in there, and I sat down, and I listened. There were 9 countries at the time. 6 attended, but we had 9 countries in the Asia-Pacific Forum. I don't know how it happened, but I walked out as their interim treasurer. You know, you show up, and you're going to do service. I mean, there's always service in Narcotics Anonymous. And that was the beginning of my relationship with the Asia-Pacific Forum. I've learned a lot since being involved with the Asia-Pacific Forum. I'm going to share a couple of stories with you. The first meeting I went to was in Thailand. And I met a lot of social workers there. And there's this idea that women don't need the same things that men need. Men should have treatment. They can come forward and say that they're addicts, but women were different. So we invited these social workers to have a meeting with us, and we crammed like 17 people into this little box room. I mean, we were laying everywhere on top of these social workers. I mean, it was the coolest thing. And we went through our Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And by the time we were done, we were all in tears, including the social workers. And they had told us that they had no idea. They had no idea that women had the same needs in terms of addiction that men have. So this one social worker, when I got home a couple weeks later, emailed me and made a commitment to start trying to treat women with addiction. So that was really significant for us. Another milestone. I was in Indonesia, and we were going into the prison. And the prisons there don't ever, any of you that have been in jail, it's a cakewalk compared to Asia. I mean, we were all going in to do this H&I commitment, and what they had these huge steel doors. I mean, really scary stuff. And my name was called first. So I walked in, and all of a sudden the doors all shut behind me, and there was nobody else. I was standing there by myself. And they led me into this big room, and there were like, oh, my God, there probably weren't that many, but in my head there was that many. There must have been like 80 people sitting around this big circle, all men. And I was just shaking. I was just terrified. You've got to remember, nobody speaks English, but they had an interpreter. And I was just shaking, and I'm thinking, okay, where are the rest of these guys? Where are the rest of these guys? And they handed me a format. Now, I knew my friend Bobby, who's the H&I person on our island, had been in there a few years before. And they handed me the format. And I know him well enough and have done enough H&I work with Bobby that I knew when they handed me the format, it was his format. And I wasn't afraid any longer. It was the coolest thing. You know, it's like we're all connected in some way or another. And then, of course, they let everybody in, and then I finally got over to the women, and, you know, that was good. when I was on the admin in the APF, we had a call from a member in Nepal. And he called us just asking us what the Asia-Pacific Forum was about. And he explained to me that he didn't deserve to come. They didn't have any money. And I think they had maybe two meetings that were struggling at the time. And that was 10 years ago. And we, of course, brought him to the APF. Now Nepal has many meetings, and they're seated at the conference. They're seated at the conference. You see, we truly are a global fellowship. And one way or another, we're all connected. I mean, I was in Bahrain in March, I think it was, and my friend Olaf and I from Thailand did a fellowship development workshop with the members of Bahrain. And at first, there were like a few people sitting there, and then pretty soon, once they started calling each other, the whole room filled up. The whole entire room filled up. But here was the challenge. Very few people spoke English, and there were three different languages that were spoken in that workshop. But by helping each other and working together, we managed to do a wonderful workshop in learning how to better service our members in NA, and language did not have to become the barrier. And see, that's one thing that I have learned, is that we speak the language of love. We really speak the language of love. I have been in so many meetings where I didn't speak the language, but I know when they use the word higher power or God. And there are certain things, when you look into my eyes and I look into yours, we're on the same page. We are absolutely on the same page. We know what it feels like not to be able to stop using. We know that about each other. And that is one universal concept of Narcotics Anonymous that we all experience. And I'm just truly grateful for that. One last little story. When I was in the Philippines, we had an opportunity to go into the jail again. And the jails are very different. I mean, the Indonesia jail had barbed wire across the front of it in troughs where they dumped the rice, where you would eat your food. And there were two Americans in there that had gotten popped for drug charges that had sat a year and had not gone to court yet. So we were in the Philippines, and I wanted to visit the women there. And we had a translator. And the women that we had that we got an opportunity to visit, there must have been about 30 of them, and they were all serving many, many, many years. But they had this this hope. I mean, they looked at us, and they wanted to hear the message in Narcotics Anonymous. They wanted to know how they could stay clean. They wanted, sometimes I just get lost in the words because I get too involved in the feelings. I lose how to express myself. But when somebody looks at you with tears in their eyes and all they want to do is find a piece of literature in their own language so that they can understand. You know, we have, in the United States, when I got clean, I had a basic text. And sometimes we get caught up in all this conflict that is so unimportant that really if we follow our traditions, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict still suffering. That's all we got to do. That's all we got to do. I really feel blessed. I bounced into the APF not knowing what to expect. And I had many teachers in my life, and I continue to have many teachers in my life. Sponsorship, I sponsor women all over the world. Some of those women have to translate their languages into English, so I don't even know why they want me as a sponsor. Because I have this memory problem. I can learn how to say please and thank you in a language. It's the first two words I kind of learn, and then after that it's up for grabs. The rest is all charades, you know? It's just funny. But I have a lot of women that work very hard and that teach me to keep working, to keep moving forward, to put one foot in front of the other and don't take a leave of absence from NA. And they work these steps and they have taught me so much. See, I believe in the steps. If I believe in something, I'm going to give you 100%. And I believe in our steps. Our steps have saved me many, many, many times. And when I think about the people in my life that have 40 plus years, I really admire those people that continue to work the steps. They're teachers for me. They tell me what works, how I'm going to stay clean. You know, not much has changed in my recovery. I have a sponsor that I'm honest with. She knows me better than I know myself, unfortunately, sometimes. And she has always told me, Tully, you have a choice. You can walk around something or you can walk through it, but eventually you're going to be dealing with it. And I hate that. You know, I have this obstacle in my life currently that I have put on the back burner. And I thought I could walk around it. I believed I could walk around it. It's not happening. I'm going to have to deal with it. And I keep hearing her voice, the miracle of recovery, the miracle of a 12-step in her voice, reminding me that you had a choice. And I decided to try something different, which is the story of my life because it usually doesn't work, and then I go back to the basics. And the basics for me are going to meetings, listening, not talking, listening. Because everybody has something to say. Everybody has something to share with me that when I leave that meeting, I can take home and I'll stay clean. And that's all of us have a story, really. You should give yourselves a big hug because you got a story and you're in this room and you're clean today. No. I just want to really talk about that second part of our workshop, and that was looking at the big picture. And when I think about the big picture, I think about the future of Narcotics Anonymous. And we've grown tremendously. And I know we've got this new service system, which I quite frankly understand pieces of it, but I don't understand it. And just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I shut it off. You know, I say, nope, not going to work. I had to stay open-minded and willing and follow direction when I got clean, which means there's going to be changes, just like in our fellowship. Our fellowship is growing. So there's going to be changes in our fellowship. And it's a challenge. I mean, look at the challenge that we all had to take to get clean. So we have more challenge. We'll do everything we need to do if we do it together as a collective. And I believe that. I've watched that happen. So I think when I think of the big picture, I think of our members that are here, the members that will be coming. And I want to leave the legacy, if I were to ever want to leave a legacy, I would want to leave the legacy that Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship whose roots are based in love. And we will love you until you learn how to love yourself. And when I got clean, they used to talk about doing loving service. That's not a new frame of reference at all. But sometimes, and I will speak for myself, when I get very attached to something, I forget that it's loving service. It's not Tully service. It's not self-service. It's us service, we service, for the better of our fellowship. Sometimes I have to step back and ask myself, who am I serving? Am I serving our fellowship or am I serving me? And if I'm serving me, then I need to take a step back and get back with God and ask God to help me do something different. You know, because God is the cheerleader in my parade. It's God all the way. You know, God brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. God helps me stay here. And when I take that last breath and I leave the planet, I'm doing it with the God of my understanding. And we all took our first breath, which is the Spirit, and we'll all take our last breath. And what we do in between the first and that last breath, that's what I want to change in my life. I want to do things different. I want to leave the planet with peace of heart and peace of mind. I just want to make one more thing about the future. We've been working for a long time on this Living Clean book. Read it. It is going to be a phenomenal book. When we first started doing it, I didn't have much interest in it. But I picked it up recently because the drafts are out and started reading it. I'll tell you, it was written for all of us. Whether you have a minute clean or 50 years clean, it's a book that was written for all of us. So now Narcotics Anonymous has written a wonderful, great book. And I love our literature. I can always find the answers to my insanity in our literature when I can't find it anywhere else. If I just pick it up and read it, no one's going to force me to do that. So I would like to thank Narcotics Anonymous for allowing me to be able to be here and share with you guys. And I really thank you for listening. And Yuzi,
give Uzi and Tali one more hand.
Few facts about Israel. We have about almost 300 groups in meetings in Israel, a couple of thousand people with addicts, and we also last year we make the European convention. And we hope one day we will have the World Convention in our country. One day, who knows? Thank you.
Okay, before we circle up and close here, we're going to have Nick H. from Seattle come up and read We Do Recover. My sponsor.
Thank you, family. My name is Nick. I'm an addict. Kind of a coincidence. My home group is Tower of Power, and just as Jack invited you at the start of the meeting, I'd also like to invite you to our home group Saturday nights in Seattle, if you ever come up, downtown Seattle. So we do recover when at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.